I'm Ben Langston, and this is the Up and Down Podcast. In this podcast, I interview everyday people about a time in their lives when they felt up and a time in their lives when they felt down. It's a really simple concept, and I'm going to follow it because I really think it's good to hear people's stories and think about how they relate to all of us. Our experiences of life obviously vary quite a lot, but the emotions we feel because of those experiences are similar and can show us that we're not always alone. I believe all of us need to share more about how we feel in life. Everyone has stories to tell, and I want them to be able to tell these stories on the podcast. If you like what you hear and would like to support what I'm doing, then you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/updown. If not, that's completely fine. I just hope that you get something out of listening to other people's stories. Hello. In this episode, I spoke to Ruby Lou Hinton, who describes herself as a young independent woman who studied illustration at university. And after graduating, she just worked countless mundane jobs to save up money so she could go gallivanting around Japan. She's finally made a home for herself with a job in design and marketing that makes her happy. And this is some of her ups and downs. So I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, Ruby.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. So thank you for joining me today on the Up and Down podcast.
Oh, that's a lovely name for it.
Yeah, it's not, it's, well, I mean, there's a lot of angst that went into coming up with that name.
Oh, tell me about it. I know the feeling.
Okay, so I just wanted to ask why you agreed to come on to the podcast, really.
So weirdly enough, the day that I saw that you posted about this online, I actually posted like my experience over the past year online, onto Instagram, because I wouldn't say that I have a huge following or anything on Instagram at all, not even in the slightest, but people were wondering why I had kind of gone off the grid. So I literally told everyone my experience over the past year, and people were going like, wow, this is so nice to hear about like a kind of story and everything. I know where you're coming from and everything, so it's refreshing. And then I saw what you put up about how you'd like to see the different people's experiences of the best points in life and the lowest points of life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is kind of perfect, like little connection between the two thing.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you making the time and also travelling. Right, so without any further ado, where would you like to start? Would you like to start with the up or the down? It's totally up to you.
I always feel like going down is always like the woo. So like in movies, it's almost like in a narrative kind of way and stuff. You always see the down parts before you, like, you always see the rain before the sunshine kind of thing.
Like a David Attenborough documentary.
Oh my God, yeah. Or like, it sounds silly, but every single time I have a conversation with people or the general public, I will always reference The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
No, that's... And, yeah.
It's been engraved in me, but like, I remember... And Mr. Burns doing a biography, and he was just like, it's called Will There Ever Be Another Rainbow?
So which is it, up or down?
Let's go with down.
Down first.
Yeah, down first.
Okay. So take it away.
Okay. I know there's like different ones, really. I guess like the best one to do it is probably the experience that I talked about on Instagram before I read your kind of talk about wanting to record with people. So I guess I'll talk about that down.
Yeah, go for it.
So it does actually start with an up. So for a very long time, like I was just kind of trying to make it outside of uni as like a designer or an illustrator or something, and I didn't really know what box I was supposed to be in.
So you studied that at uni, did you?
Yeah, I studied illustration in Bristol at UWE, and that's why I stayed in Bristol, because I just enjoyed it and stuff. And I realised that when I was in uni, I didn't actually spend time in Bristol. I spent time at university.
Okay.
So I carried on living here and experiencing everything. When it kind of became the start of 2018. I decided to start running exhibitions with my friend Sophie, because we noticed like a lot of people kind of talking about community and the idea of like art being like such a close family, almost like a knit group. So I literally said to her, I just went, I want to make a goal for myself. I feel like doing an exhibition would be really nice. And she was like, let's do it. So we came up with the idea of a spring exhibition called Equinox, because that's all about spring. Equinox. Yeah, the spring equinox. So we got lots of people to create work for it based on the spring. And a lot of people were going like, wow, this is so nice. You're like pushing us out of our comfort zone.
So were these people from like your course or just general artists?
Around the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So we had people as far from like Malaysia and America submitting work and stuff. We would print the people who were abroad. But a lot of the time we had people sending in the work or coming to like visit us in our studio, because our gallery that we ended up having it in for a week was just next door to our studio. It was really convenient. So we ended up making this huge exhibition that had like about 80 artists in and stuff. And for two people, we thought that that was quite a big achievement. The fact that we like brought all these people together, but we also ran workshops.
So
the ball started rolling. So I started making Draw Your Feelings workshops. So I did that from February, March, April, skipped May, did July and stuff. But I got guest artists coming in for the few other ones. So we did different themes each time. So it wasn't the same thing over and over again.
Okay.
And that was super fun.
Was it quite stressful to like organise?
At the time, it didn't feel like it because I was just like on a roll. Like when I just keep going, I think that was a lot of what happened with the downfall. I think this might be the up almost, but there's like the up and the down and the up and the down kind of thing. And then all of a sudden in August, it was almost like a blanket of dread just like slapped me across the face. It was like really like a wet towel or something. Someone waterboarded me.
With depression.
Yes, with depression and anxiety. And I just remember waking up every morning just felt like I was about to have a heart attack every single morning.
Right.
And I just didn't know where it came from.
So what did you do? What did you, you know, when you were feeling like that, what did you do each morning to try and calm yourself down? Or did you just...
I just had to lie there and just wait until it stopped. But there were days where I was just like, I know it's not going to stop. So I just have to, I can't just like immobilize myself from life or anything. I've got work to do.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I had just finished doing a temp job where I helped teenagers kind of build their confidence and raise money for charity as well while this was all going on. But it had like finished there. And then I think it was almost like that, the end of that hit me and gave me existential dread, because I saw all these teenagers achieving and feeling so rewarded and everything. And I was like, I feel rewarded now. And I just went, now what? Oh no. Oh no. Kind of like that thing. And it started like, made me start spiraling, going like, okay, so what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Because that's done. And it was almost like, every single time I did an exhibition or a workshop, it just went, okay, that's done and it's over now. What else are you supposed to do? And stuff. And I was giving myself a really hard time.
Is that because you felt that you were just kind of repeating yourself and you wanted to do something different and you didn't know what it was? Or
yeah, I think it was a combination of that and also just going like, if you keep doing this, like it's going to eventually be boring for you. So it was almost like I gave myself predicted dread. So like I almost predicted like in the future, in a year's time, this is going to be boring kind of thing. Or like in a year's time, like you're going to keep doing this, but like what other achievements in life are you going to do? And it was almost like a midlife crisis, because I started going like, okay, but does anyone love you?
Have I peaked too soon?
Yeah, exactly. And I was just there being like, oh my God, like there's so many people around you that are so happy and they have good jobs and stuff. Why don't you have a good job? Why don't you have anyone that loves you?
So what made you think that everyone around you was so happy? Just because that's what you were seeing? Or
it's the outside looking in, because at the time, no one had any idea that I was feeling this type of way either, okay, at all.
So you didn't talk to anyone about it, really?
No one. Well, I tried to, and it was almost like I had this like really big problem of going like, well, if I burden them with this grief, they've got their own stuff to deal with. I can't do that to them. Mm. So it was almost being like altruistic. So it was like, I kept seeing memes that I really liked because it would be like, just like lock the door behind you and put the blanket over you and stuff so you don't have to let anyone else deal with it, mm, kind of thing. And I was like, that's hilarious. My friends were like, that's so sad. And I was like, no, it's not. Oh, it is. Oh, damn, kind of thing. And we did a second exhibition, mm, while I was feeling this type of way, but it was an autumn one.
Okay.
And during this time, I was literally there just being like, oh, I feel so sick. I don't want to do anything, kind of thing. And I just went like, what achievements are you even gaining from this? And everything, and I just kept seeing the same people over and over again.
Yeah.
Almost like, I genuinely kept thinking of that thing of the idea of the definition of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you do the same thing over and over again, but expect different results.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's almost what I put onto myself, being like, you're doing the same things over and over again, you're expecting different results, but you're not going to get it.
So what different results do you think you were hoping for?
Well, that was the thing, I had no idea what the hopes were or anything, but I think it was almost like that was the thing that hit me more than anything, because the fact that I had no idea what I wanted.
And what about the friend that you were doing the exhibitions with? What happened there in terms of...
She was there for me, mm, but she had her own stuff to deal with. Like, but at the same time, I didn't open up to her.
Okay.
Like, she saw that I was being a bit weird and stuff, but she was just like, we just need to get on with it because... like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Like, I definitely do have, like, some problems with mental health,
mm,
and stuff. But she's always said that, like, she's been quite resilient,
yeah,
and everything. And I think she has good coping mechanisms, while I had no idea. It was okay. Almost like I, like, retrograded into a child. And yeah, I had no idea how to deal with anything. And I had no parent around me or mentor to be able to help me understand what the hell I was going through, even yeah, though I'd been through it a few times.
Okay.
At this point.
So if you didn't talk to anyone about it, you didn't share how you were feeling, how did you develop any kind of coping mechanism?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No. So I just bottled it up until it became stress, and like, that's probably why, I don't know, like, obviously I had the anxious hit.
Mm.
But then I think that's the thing that developed my depression, because of the fact that I just wasn't talking about it or anything.
Yeah.
So because of the fact that I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, I ended up going like, okay, you're going to like just not have any money at this rate.
Okay, so money was a worrying factor as well.
Or I have a huge thing to do with financial anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, I heard that this is a thing. Like, it's a very common thing.
You're right, it is. Thing. Yeah.
But I've always been very good with my money. But then, even though I had money saved, I was like, this is going to eventually leave. So it was like I was trying to predict the future.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that was the thing as well. Like, I was trying to predict the future with my feelings, with my financial situation, with my life.
Yeah.
I was trying to predict everything 6 months ahead of when it was actually happening.
Mm-hmm. And that was just, paralysing, I suppose, in terms of...
Yeah.
So what else did it impact on any other kind of areas of life?
Yeah, I ended up working a full-time job.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that it's, like, the worst job I ever had. I was just a waitress.
Mm-hmm.
For a bit.
Okay.
Just decided, I was like, look, I even said it to my housemate at the time. I just went, the thing is, I have no idea what I'm doing right now, so I might as well do something while I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because I can't just not.
So did that malaise kind of continue when you were doing that job? Even though you have money coming in then, and did you feel any more secure because of that?
No, because of the fact that, like, I sacrificed my social life.
Okay.
for it, because I was almost like, because my depression and anxiety made me go like, you don't want to see friends, you don't have any friends. It was like Gollum, you know, when he's talking to himself and stuff, I felt like Gollum every night and be like, you don't have any friends, nobody likes you, kind of thing. And I'm just there be like, stop it, no, kind of thing. So I sacrificed my social life just to work and work, and almost like, I keep referencing Lord of the Rings now.
Sorry.
I'm like, I was like Smaug. Okay. I was a dragon collecting my coins and stuff and hoarding them and stuff. And I was just like being like, eventually you'll just not want to work in this job, so you can just quit at any point. And I kept saying that in my head whenever like things got really stressful. And it was like, you could quit right now and be fine. But then another voice in my head just went, if you keep doing this, because I kept getting like temp jobs or like jobs that weren't that great and didn't make me feel good, so I just kept being like, okay, I'm gonna leave to do this job, I'm gonna leave to do this job and stuff, and it was like a non-stop Ouroboros vicious circle kind of thing.
And were you missing the sort of work you were doing before when you were just doing the odd jobs? Were you missing the sort of creativity behind the creation of the exhibitions?
Absolutely. And almost like, I think because of the fact that I was working with teenagers beforehand and stuff, that was such a rewarding job, whereas before I had just worked odd jobs while I was doing things that were slightly rewarding and everything. So that really, really hit me hard. But yeah, I just ended up, I would literally wake up, go to work, finish work, go home, sleep, wake up, go to work, finish work, go home and sleep.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I would almost go like, what do I do when I finish work? So I'd just stay in my room.
Okay.
And stuff. And I ended up just like, not even like eating properly. I'd literally just eat at work. Mm. And that was it.
So if you're feeling depressed, you're feeling anxious, you're not talking to anyone about how you're feeling,
isolating myself.
And you're isolating yourself. So what was it that you did to feel better? How did you get out of that feeling? What happened?
So shall we go with the up?
Yeah, then we can go with the up. If are they linked?
It eventually links. So we'll go into the path that gets to the up.
Okay.
So the thing was, like, obviously my few friends that I lived with kind of noticed, they literally kept saying to me over and over again, being like, you are not the Ruby we remember. What's going on? And I just kept going, I'm just really tired.
And was there any kind of criticism or anything like that in terms of how other people thought you were dealing with situations? Or,
well, this is the thing, so I wasn't talking to my family really all that much. They would ring me up, but they wouldn't be able to see my face or anything. So I'd be able to manipulate my voice to make it sound as if I'm like really fine, absolutely fine kind of thing. And they would be like, can we come over and see you? And I'm just like, oh, I'm just really busy right now kind of thing. Or my friends would just kind of see me and they'll be like, what's going on? I'm like, yep, it's fine.
It's quite difficult then when it's impacting on relationships and, you know, even family and things like that.
They had no idea what to do, really. Mm. Like, Sophie didn't know what to do all that much.
And that's
and
the
stuff.
Girl that you did the
exhibition. Yeah, so, because I used to see her every day, because we used to be in the studio with each other every day. And eventually she started going like, okay, you haven't been in for 2 months. What's going on? And I just went, I'm just tired and stuff. And she was like, Ruby, what's going on? Like, what is going on? Let's meet up, have a coffee and stuff. But I did see how it's so difficult to speak to someone that is going through a bad time and you can blatantly see it.
Yeah, it is.
You can. Like, I was pale. I was losing weight. Mm. I was so unresponsive. I was disassociating literally from my mind and my body at the time. It was, like, now I see, I really wish I'd like taken photos. In fact, I did take photos of myself. I just had like eye bags and I was so pale and I was only sleeping 4 hours a night or something, just because I was like, I literally contorted myself into this like weird, strange Gollum-esque being. And she was just there being like, so what's good and stuff. And I just went, yeah, work's been fine. I was working like 40 to 50 hours a week.
So everything. Really just filling your time, I suppose.
That's exactly what I was doing, completely filling my time. And it was almost like I didn't look at anyone in the eye for a really long time, for months. So my housemate, going back to my housemate, like seeing that I wasn't the same Ruby, he literally messaged me while I was in bed, while he was in bed as well, because it was almost like it was way too awkward to talk to me.
Okay.
Because I would be so disassociative with anyone that, like, he was just like, I think you should get help. Like, it's done wonders on friends that we know of and everything, and it doesn't hurt to talk. And I just went, yeah, no, it's just, it's fine. Like, what I just need to do, like, I just don't know what's going on with my life. And he's just there going like, yeah, but I think you should get help. I started talking to him about, like, where I was going with my life. I literally just said, like, I just don't know what's going on. And I just went, I think maybe I should just move, because I've done pretty much everything to stop this from happening.
So you wanted to move to stop yourself feeling like that, to fix it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I literally was just like, the only way I can stop it is if I change. And then he just went, no, I think you should just carry on doing the things that you were doing before.
Okay.
But in my mindscape, it's like going back to the whole insanity is doing the exact same things over and over again and expecting different results.
Yeah, okay, and stuff. So you're fearful of doing that.
Yes, so fearful. I just wanted to be with my family
okay.
at this time, because I really noticed how much they cared about me more than anything. Like, I ended up going home for New Year's and just, like, crawling in a ball on a sofa at my parents' friend's house and just crying and just being like, I don't want to be in Bristol anymore. Okay. So by January, I ended up moving. And from there, January this year.
Okay.
So this all was happening throughout 2018. So the very start of 2019, it was literally like New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
It was literally like, that was the turning point. So at the end of January, like when January happened, I literally told my housemate, I just went, look, I'm just going to have to move. And he went, you got to do what you got to do.
So did you take him up on any advice in terms of speaking to anyone, or did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
Okay. I did. So when I moved back home, the weekend that I got back home, like, I had left my job and everything. I didn't have a job for about 2 months or anything, but I decided I needed... Well, I thought that, but I was in absolute agony still.
Yeah, of course.
So I decided, I was like, I'm going to go see a therapist.
Okay.
I saw a therapist. I actually had my last session with her 2 weeks ago, and I'm a completely different person.
Okay. Well, that's quite amazing to say, to be able to say that from just being able to talk to people.
Yeah.
Did people know that you were going to seek help? Did your family encourage it and all that sort of thing? Or did you keep it to yourself?
I didn't tell them that I needed help or anything. They just saw that I was in a certain way and everything. But again, it's the whole awkwardness of you don't know what to do. Especially, I think it's so hard for parents to see their children suffering, even though there's nothing in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I was so scared. It was almost like I was terrified of something, but I just didn't know what it was.
Okay.
And stuff. I even talked about it in my therapy session, and she told me I had to end up drawing an embodiment of my fear.
Okay.
And it was this huge, like, swollen, tentacled monster that just sucked me in completely and stuff. And I was just like, she was like, that's anxiety and depression. 100% kind of thing. I ended up realizing that I definitely had OCD as well because of it.
What are you doing?
I had these really bad intrusive thoughts, but we ended up combining my therapy with CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Okay, yeah.
So the idea of cognitive behavioral therapy is cognitions, the kind of the thought in your head that'll eventually lead on to a feeling that you're having, eventually leading on to a behavior you're having, following on to a reaction you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And with cognitive behavioral therapy, They help you understand and learn why you're feeling that cognitive process. Like, so they get you to look right down in the roots of why do you feel this way? Why do you feel this way?
Mm.
It's because you think this way.
Okay.
So that really benefited me.
Mm.
Like, because at a point when I was still living in my flat at the time with my friends, I had no idea, like, that I was feeling or understanding. All I knew is that I felt. I didn't actually know what I was thinking.
Mm.
But there was this one moment where I couldn't leave my room on a day off because I thought that if I'd left my room, I would end up being homeless.
Right.
And I don't understand where that even came from. It was just a thought process that eventually led to that. And she said that is obsessive, like compulsive thoughts
mm.
and stuff. And that's what eventually led you to that. So it's these intrusive thoughts that got you to that. But by doing the therapy and stuff and learning why I thought and behaved in a way, that really benefited me. Mm. And I eventually had like better connection with my parents because of the fact that I was actually living with them for the first time in 6 years.
Yeah.
I was seeing them for more than 2 days at a time. Like, it'd been the first time that I'd like lived with them, like, and spent time with them for more than a week. I was seeing my brother because he's got children. So being with the kids really helped me
mm-hmm.
as well. Just seeing family, seeing people that like loved you unconditionally and stuff. Well, as I thought, it did eventually spring to mind the idea that my friends only conditionally loved me.
Okay.
Like, that is a full feeling completely.
And you feel like that now, you mean? Or
With certain people.
Yeah, okay.
Of course. People react in a certain way because they do. And that you can't hate people
for a
certain type of way that they are. Completely how I think. Like, I just think that why use your energy on the negative of others
mm-hmm.
when if you reciprocate positivity and happiness, this is what I got out of therapy. Like, I have always thought like this, but I really feel like this now. Like, if you make sure that you are as kind to people as you can be, they will reciprocate that.
Yeah.
And then there are certain people that won't be able to completely do that because they will have a certain kind of experience in the past, transference, which is what happens when you've had a reaction to something in the past. So because of that, you'll have a staple reaction
mm-hmm.
to a certain kind of situation that's very similar to your past.
Yeah, yeah.
And a certain friend of mine did end up feeling really, I think he felt quite hurt, which is really sad because of the fact that, like, I didn't want to hurt him in any way, but he definitely reacted eventually in like a kind of way that's like, okay, well, if you're going to be like that, I'm going to be like that
mm.
kind of thing, which is really sad. So
you mean in terms of what is it that you had done to make him feel like that, or what had happened between
moving.
The two of you?
Oh, okay. I think the fact that I literally was physically moving
yeah.
away, it was like I'm moving away from him
right.
kind of thing.
Okay. So when you talk about the connections, between you and your family, you know, improving, how about the connections with your friends more generally? So in terms of, you talk about the conditional and unconditional in terms of, you know, caring about you and feeling kind of love towards you.
So I definitely do think that, like, you can feel conditionally loved if you're conditionally loving mm-hmm. someone. And I think that was what was going on with me.
Okay.
I think I was conditionally loving someone because I was like, you will probably eventually leave and not care eventually.
Sorry, my dog it's is okay. Marching around demanding.
But she's so sweet.
Right.
So in my head, I was like, they're liking me for certain conditions, but as soon as those conditions change,
okay, yeah,
they will leave me,
yeah,
kind of thing. So it was almost like I used to do that with jobs. I would almost go like, okay, if I leave them before they leave me, kind of thing.
You're in control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I honestly think that is the straight up reason why people have problems in the first place. It's all about control with everything, no matter what. I've even talked about this with my mum. I just went, you know, the reason why like everyone has trauma, or the reason why they have an emotional response to things, it's either they have no power in that situation, lack of control, loss of control, or overburdened with control.
Yeah. And I think it can be very difficult when, you know, from a personal perspective, if I don't feel in control of certain situations, then yeah, you know, you can become quite anxious and act in ways that you might not necessarily think are good, I suppose, for yourself and for others around you.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I did. Like, I definitely felt like a lack of control in my life, so I had to put matters into my own hands.
Yeah.
And through, like, I've put this on my Instagram post that I recently did, where I went through a combination of therapy, medication, self-help videos.
Wow.
Kind of thing. Yeah, I genuinely did the whole, you know how people read self-help books?
Yeah, yeah.
Did it through TED Talks, started listening to TED Talks from October onwards, because I was like, if I listen to people talking confidently, maybe I can be confident again. But it was more the things that I learned within it. So I actually, it got me into a rabbit hole of kind of listening to lectures online.
Okay.
This is a good point that leads me onto the up.
Okay.
Like more of the up as well. So the up is having more of a connection with my family, but I started going through a rabbit hole of self-help videos and everything before I got real help and stuff. And that's almost like the thing that got me to get help was through Jordan Peterson's lectures online.
Okay. Yeah,
so he's got a really big following now. And he's like a Canadian psychologist.
Yeah, I know.
Fabulous. A lot of people give him a lot of backlash.
I think, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's, yeah, people feel quite strongly either way, I think, about him.
Definitely. He's Marmite.
Yeah.
100% yeah. He's Marmite. Like, there's certain things that I don't believe are right with me, sitting with me. Like he said, like, there's no point in talking about feelings, really, because that's not going to help you. What's going to help you is changing the situation. And I was just there being like, no, because I've talked about my feelings and everything, so that's the thing that helped me more than anything.
And I think that's the point, isn't it? It's finding ways through it. And it sounds like you tried loads and loads and loads of different things, you know.
I have for years, really, because I'd suddenly have like these sudden belts of like sadness and stuff. It's from like previous things that happened to me. But this one like hit worse than anything, because it was almost like, why are you feeling like this? There's literally zero reason kind of thing. There were like reasons for the old ones, but there was no reason for this one.
Well, I suppose it's, you didn't have anything to compare it to, so I suppose it's harder to see a reason.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there clearly were reasons, and, you know, maybe you've worked out what that was.
Yeah, my friend Ella even said, she was like, Ruby, what I saw from you was that you were absolutely soaring. Like, you were doing all the things you wanted to do. You were living your best life and stuff. And I just went, I was alone throughout it all, that entire time. Like, I just went, you have to be independent, because no one's going to no one's going to be the way that you want them to be. So you have to be the way that you want to be and stuff. And that did really help me for a really long time. But I eventually realised that I did need support. So support was the up for me.
Okay.
So listening to Jordan Peterson did really benefit me, because I heard him talking about small changes in life and stuff. He even just used the analogy of just cleaning your room. Because if you make your bed every morning, that's going to be an incentive to enjoy your bed when you get home, kind of thing. So I just started doing small changes. I ended up getting a gym membership as well.
That's good.
Did it twice a week because I needed to fill my time while I wasn't working. I would apply for as many jobs as I could, but like really put effort into it. Like small things. So I would only do like one job application a day advocate, or I would just spend time helping people, like helping my grandma or something. It's just like the small little changes.
Yeah.
And eventually I just went, okay, let's get a new phone.
Okay.
So I had like a really, can I swear?
Yeah, of course.
I had a really shit Microsoft phone.
Oh, God.
Really shit.
You were like, one of the 10 people to have a Windows phone.
Yeah, okay. A Windows phone. Fucking awful. My dad still has one. He's like, can I use your old one? And I just went, for fuck's sake, Dad.
Are they not obsolete by now?
Well, that's the thing. It turns out you can't actually download any apps on them anymore.
No,
so I got a Samsung phone, which has really helped. But then I ended up going like, you could download apps and stuff. You can get music again and stuff. Like, this is great, because you could get music on, you could get Spotify and everything, but it was really shit on the Microsoft phone.
So what, you were just treating yourself to something good?
I was treating myself and stuff, and then in a really silly kind of superficial way, I just thought, okay, you can download Tinder.
Okay, yeah.
So I downloaded Tinder because I was just like, now I'm like in a kind of place that's okay. I actually want to socialise, because you realise that you are in your hometown again. There's not actually that many people that you know that well.
Mm.
So a good way to get to know people is kind of just go on Tinder and just let go and everything.
Yeah.
And I chatted to a couple people. It was very boring. Like, very bland, because of the fact that you can't see people face to face.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's the thing that's so boring.
It's kind of just repeating the...
What you up to, lol, loves it,
kind of
thing. So I put my Tinder bio as just really obscure, weird things. The last one that I called it was, like, my Tinder bio was, like, I'm just looking for someone that's kind of emotionally available and not filled with bees.
Okay.
So I just wanted someone that, like, understood my sarcastic humour, but a little bit dark and stuff. And ended up swiping on this guy. So I started talking to him. And it turned out we both listened to Jordan Peterson.
Okay.
So that's how we started talking, and I literally said to him, oh my god, Jordan Peterson is my bedtime hero, because I used to listen to him when I used to go to sleep.
Yeah,
that was the only way I could get to sleep. This guy said, I haven't met a woman as of yet who listens to Jordan Peterson.
Yeah,
because a lot of the time people get the news headlines about Jordan Peterson being sexist, like misogynistic. Quite a lot of his demographic are young men
and
stuff. But we started it opened up a good floodgate of vulnerability, because the fact that we just went, shit, we got problems, kind of thing. You got problems, I got problems, we could both have problems, kind of thing. We ended up telling each other that through Tinder that we both went through therapy the first night that we started talking.
That's nice.
Within 3 days, I met up with this man.
Yeah.
And since then, he's the love of my life.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so he is the up.
Okay, he is the up. Or is the up actually getting rid of a Windows phone?
I think it's a combination of the two, personally. Yeah. Windows phone, starting therapy, love of my life.
Okay. Well, those are good things. That is very positive.
Yeah.
So you're living with him now?
I live with him. I've known him for 2 months and I've moved in with him. I am I have never been like this with anyone ever. Okay. I have been very much like, love, what the fuck is love kind of person now. I am the most lovey-dovey person. Even my friend Georgie said it. I put up a video of him, like, just staring at me and then just belly flopping on me. And she just went, who is this man? And I was just like, he is the love of my life and I'm living with him now. And she just went, what the hell has happened to you?
Wow, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know? It's better to feel good, right?
Yeah, 100%. But it's almost like we have started this relationship where we can talk about anything. There are no restrictions. It's all vulnerability.
Yeah.
And stuff, and it's the first time ever in my life that I have had no limits to anything that I've needed to say.
So having that kind of open dialogue is a good thing for you.
100%. It's the most interesting experience that I've ever had in my life.
Mm.
And stuff, and we talk for hours, even now.
That is good.
So very much like since January, it's been like a road, but it's been a like the journey is so much better than the destination. 100%. I still feel like I'm going through this huge journey.
I just wanted to kind of look at the whole picture, everything that we've kind of talked about, and just to understand if there's anything that you have learned and that you will kind of carry into your life going forward in terms of the experiences that you've spoken about.
I think I would never change what I've gone through whatsoever. But my only thing that I have, like the only real thing that immediately pops into my head is practice what you preach. Because even Sam, my partner, has said, like, you are one of very few people that I have met who say something and actually execute it. Not just in physical, like, actual doing things, but in terms of ideology and philosophy, kind of thing, of, like, peace, happiness, love, progression. The idea of, like, if you just enjoy and progress on to being a better person and stuff, and you can take the right steps in order to do that. I wouldn't say that I'm perfect in any way, shape or form. If anything, I have stepped on people's toes quite a lot. I can be irritating, annoying, almost too intense with my certain ideologies, like if you're gonna do it, fucking do it kind of thing. But I do think people need to practice what they preach. Because for half a year, I was not doing the things. I wasn't being authentic whatsoever. I wasn't actually producing the kind of things that I wanted to give out in life. I was very negative at a time, almost very spiteful in the way that I kind of talked to people at times, like very nihilistic.
Do you think that was because you were just in such a bad place?
Awful place, yeah. 100% that is why. I mean, I still think that there is no point in life, but you make your own point kind of thing. So I do have slight nihilistic tendencies, but that's kind of works with what I think about and stuff, and like virtues and everything. But I literally just think the one thing that I can take from it is just practice what you preach.
Okay.
Really, because the fact that I was running workshops called Draw Your Feelings and making a space for people to be able to talk about whatever they wanted, and I did absolutely zero of that to myself in my personal life.
Okay.
And that's why I thought moving away was one of the first things in a long time that actually helped me get what I wanted and give myself emotional space. Be authentic with yourself, not just to others, but you just have to be authentic with you. Don't apologize to yourself for who you are. If you are in a bad place, get help, but do small things. You can't rush it whatsoever, because I tried rushing it and it made me horrible.
Okay, well, thank you.
That's all right.
There is one question, but you've kind of answered it in a way, but it's a question I'm asking everyone. And the question is, if you could just give one piece of kind of life advice to somebody else, to a stranger, what would it be?
So one of my favourite albums in the whole world is an album by a rapper called Logic, if you've heard of him.
No.
Fantastic. See things from two sides. That's what he always says.
Okay.
Live your life. Don't waste your days on the negative energy of others. Remember that you're not your house, you're not your car, you're not your salary, and no matter how big your bank account is, you will be 6 feet under, just like the rest of us. Just see things from two sides and just live life.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Massively appreciate it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.